message today. will start as activists. At least two. Here's a prayer request in the last. If there is any more prayer request in the prayer of that list, we pray for them every week. What is the purpose and the goal of those prayers? The prayer we just talked about on behalf of our prayer list. We can pray those prayer choices and this public setting of what is in our own prayer closet. What are intentions, what are our goals and wishes for them to bring to the place prayer to the heart? What is the purpose of doing those prayers? We must believe somehow that God the Father, God the Son, has the ability to hear and to answer those prayers. We believe that. I don't doubt that what most of us here can have and give them examples. I wish we could testify to the times when we have witnessed what we consider to be an answer to prayers. Whether someone was sick, or whether someone had other issues, like I said, you may have a company, actual job, whatever the situation might be, there's lots of things that affect people when we pray about those things. So, we all probably have testimonies to those kinds of things. When someone was sick, we had other issues resolved, including us personally. There are people listening to this message who can give us testimony of a personal example of answered prayer, where they have seen prayers answered. The Lord can help people pray for me. If there's something in my life, I'd like to know that there are people that care enough to petition God on my behalf. I'd love to know, brethren, that there are people praying for me. So we don't offer those prayers thinking of pain. We don't think someone is listening because we don't have the heart to pray. We don't have the heart to get on our knees and go before God and petition Him all these things if we did not believe that they were heard. We don't have the heart to pray out of our faith. We would offer those prayers if we did not think the listener was capable of responding. And that, my God, brethren, yes, we do believe in God. We do believe that God has the ability to hear and the ability to answer our prayers. That's why we continue to do it. We struggle sometimes, I'll admit, because I know myself, I don't feel that much different from the rest of the people. We struggle sometimes to understand how God works in these matters. Because honestly, we don't get everything that we ask for in prayer. And most especially, we don't get the things for every Thank you. back to him. That's my original subject. But instead of Joseph being one of the best gifts, most of us did. There is compassion in that. I can say, while some people would consider the gift of the other to be a desirable gift, but there's compassion in that. There's things to strengthen, there's ways to strengthen our own, and there are good things, but they will affect a lot of people. I think our perspective might be a little bit skewed to some extent. There is compassion that no one likes to encounter suffering. If you see a person suffering, whether it's on TV or is that kind of something that has a great impact on me? And I don't have the range. I saw a book in Barnesville the other day that had come out since the rescue, but there was a number of missionaries that were hijacked, or I think they were Mormons, I think was their name. But they brought in their anniversary celebration. It was famous. It's on a location and sometime in the middle of the night they were Costco or kidnapped and taken to some island somewhere and kept hostage for over a year. And this week in some of the excerpts from that book, and how they were treated, and actually they did praise for some of the books and so forth, but didn't have enough eating. Very bad stomach irritations that kept them picked up, or they lost lots of weight, and they had a lot of drugs and all the things that they went through, and were just doing their natural stuff first. And I had my wife and myself on TV, one of those news programs, showing some footage of what I'd seen the other days. And seeing their kids and so forth. We complain about so many things, and I'm going to get depressed about our lives, and this is my boring life, and this is my unlucky job, and I have all these bills, and my car's still up. And if you see something like that, you go down there, you shut it, you better shut it. But there's so many things in the world that you actually made of that story was that they finally got rescued, or she did, and she got killed in the meantime. But she has some of their kids, and probably with their husband together, but there are so many things out there that you see that you would act quick, right? As I said, healing doesn't just have to do with physical ailments. It has compassion. No one likes to see suffering. And when you do encounter it, you would like to be able to see something done. Allowed. This is part of what makes this gift of the Spirit so desirable. Thinking about the things that could be done with the gift of healing. To see the gift of suffering. Which is more compassion? To ask God to prolong life, or to ask Him to ease the suffering in whatever way He means for it. I think we know the answer to that question. I know there's one that's more compassionate, I know there's one that's more selfish. To ask God to prolong life, or to ask Him to ease suffering in whatever way He means for it. Now, my next question, how did you use such a gift as possible? We've got the gifts of healing and prayer. In the top, I think the top one, the top of the list. How would you use such a gift responsible? Just by time and responsible use. What's the criteria that has to be met? What was Christ's criteria? We know that we've got plenty of examples where Christ and other people do, but especially Christ killed me. Christ did from the dead. As I said, in the biggest messages, when you can ask people from the dead, you have to get to do it. And Christ was the gift of the Spirit for some time, he had it all. But what was his criteria? Well, he did perform miracles on you. I've asked before, why didn't Christ heal whole colonies of lepers? And why didn't Christ destroy the colony of lepers and perform miracles on everybody's given much sin and you went to hospitals and whatever you would call them at that time, and he was where anybody was sick and his children were. But that didn't, I don't know that that took place. So what was his criteria? What did he do? All these things that our scripture wants you to turn to.
Discount that altogether. sure that it's true on the scale that we might imagine it would be. Look at the result here. Now, this man is healed. And what happens after he goes and he went out and began to publish it much and the blaze abroad. You know, it's using big words here. Publish it much and the blaze abroad. He wasn't just talking to big people. He wasn't telling everybody he wanted to. Everybody was standing still long enough to listen. Sick of the palsy. sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak such blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason you these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say for the sake of the policy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know. That's the way you say it. So that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sake of the palsy, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go your way into your house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this passion. Now, what's interesting here is that Christ issued those aspects. Not just as an example of those that were there, but for anyone who cares to read and to meditate on it at any time. This story is here for you and me to read. And this story is here for you and me to read and to think about and learn from. Think about what Christ is doing here. As I said, it's kind of curious, but here comes a man laying in the bed who can't get up, and Christ says your sins are forgiven. Well, at least people walk. He says, as I said, Christ knew this, and he was taking a couple steps ahead. But it's an example for everyone who cares to read and meditate on it. This is a powerful statement. This is a powerful lesson here. He first looks at a sick person and says that his sins are forgiven. Most likely, in full awareness of the discussion that is going to take place, that is going to ensue after he makes this statement. Now, the thing that intrigues me here, not only does he discern their reasoning without them even saying anything, there is reasoning in their hearts. I love when he does that. Anytime I read that, it just makes me smile. Somebody's standing around. Remember, when Christ was this place that they kind of this harlot, whatever she was calling at, and he starts riding in the sand or whatever. Starts embarrassing these people. They don't say anything. But obviously, whatever it is, he's riding on the grounds, convicting them. Discerns what people are reasoning in their hearts and he confronts them. I can imagine the dumbfounded look on their faces when it happens. He read my mind. He read my thoughts. He read my heart. Now there is a gift. But then he nails them to the wall. He nails them to the wall with his statement personally. So that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I said, if you arise, take up your bed, and go your way. Nails them to the wall. Not only does he confront them with what they're thinking in their hearts, then he gives them that statement. If you really want to be that way, this is so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. We also get a glimpse into some criteria here. Consider verse 12, and immediately arose, took up a man, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were amazed. What else did they do? They were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. God was glorified by this. So if Christ knew their reasoning, God says he didn't know what the effect of this episode was going to be. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. I think we've got a good glimpse right there of the criteria. Because there was criteria that was met with Christ before the miracles. There was criteria met when he healed Lazarus and when he brought back the poor from the grave. There was reasoning. It wasn't just random act. I don't think you will find that it was ever just a random act in Christ. Healed with a woman of the issue of blood for 12 years, and it was healed before he even knew she was there. There Paul's criteria. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What know you? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you? We're talking about gifts of the Spirit today, brother. You not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not. Beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. We all know what that's about. We face those troubles day in, day out. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, Corinthians 14, and verse 2. Go ahead and start in verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. What we learned in 1 Corinthians 12, 7. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Paul's emphasizing that here. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you be prophesied. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks unto men. Speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, how then in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaking unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies, what does he do? He edifies the church. I will that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interprets. Church may receive edifying. Now, if you're going to speak in tongues and not tell everybody what you said, what's the point? But if you're going to speak in tongues and interpret, then do it for the edifying of the word, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, but a pipe or harp, except they give a distinction of the sounds, how shall it be known? What is pipe or harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, which shall prepare himself to the battle, so likewise he accepts you utter by the tongue words easy to understand. How shall it be known? What is that when you shall speak into the air? There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaks it, or grand, and he that speaks shall be of a great barbarian unto me. Verse 12. Even so you, for as much as you For as much as you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel in that spiritual gift. To what? The edifying of the church. Now, that's good to hear. What is the criteria? Verse 26, that same chapter. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying. Edification of the church. What are the criteria for being a responsible user of such a gift? How do you use the gift of healing responsibly, or any gift for that matter? The criteria, two of the major criteria, I should say. The question that should be asked, will it glorify God? And will it edify the church? And I need to thank Mr. Hendrix for pointing that out to me one second when I was here giving one of his sermons on this spiritual gifts. And I asked a question along those lines. That it has to glorify God and edify the church. Lots more to discuss, I suppose, but we'll have to get another time. This is the second sermon that I'm putting on the gift of healing, or gifts of healing, but there's yet more to discuss, and we'll have to get to that very soon.